The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Any audio show. This is number 170-something. Following on the heels of a very successful collaborative effort between the East Coast Audio and Stunt Granny, what do we refer to them as?
The Constellation Knights or something like that? I don't know. I wanted to make it sound more like the Moon Knights from Aqua Teen Hunger Force. But I know that's not right. I don't have it pulled up right now.
Yeah. Well, no, I think I described them as Stunt Granny, but with soul. So maybe after listening, people will figure it out if they haven't already. But big thanks to Travis for doing the show, even though you earned it by picking a number and getting lucky in something that was totally random. So, yeah, we'll do that. I'll get into that later. Yeah, Kevin and I, we're just going to talk about, if you didn't realize who that was, Kevin and I are just going to talk about, really, we've only got two things on tap. It's been a slow week. Yeah. I guess we could throw in the Ted DiBiase wrist injury and subsequent angle from that.
Yeah, I was too lazy even to check any other news that you might have missed for some odd reason.
No, it's been a slow week. TNA, a lot of people in TNA are doing the rounds in England because that's where they're at right now overseas.
Yeah, that helps to not make any dumb news.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the one thing that came out of it, and I didn't bother posting because it wouldn't happen, was Victoria saying that she would be a page three girl.
Oh. Yeah.
Or page two?
Victoria? You mean, is that her name now?
What the hell is Tara? Tara, I'm sorry. Wow, my bad.
Yeah, no, it's been actually so long that I actually remember her as Tara now.
Oh, well, I remember her as Victoria.
Who the fuck is Victoria?
Well, Victoria, she was way hotter, so.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. Her her age has caught up to her.
Now, I don't know if it's the age. I don't know if she's done something to her face or whatnot, or how she's plucking her eyebrows, or I don't know what the hell it is, but yeah, it doesn't help. But yeah, I mean, you know, the answer is always, of course. So, yeah, I mean, Ted DiBiase, for those who don't know, care, whatever, he hurt his wrist. Apparently it is broken, and there are torn ligaments in his wrist. They shot an angle for Friday SmackDown where he gets beaten up by the guy that's not the tag team champion. The co that's not the tag team champion.
Yeah, Hunico.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. And the guy with the low rider bike.
Yep, Camacho. Now that I actually remember his name, like I've got to keep on saying it to myself just so I actually remember.
Not all Hispanic names end in O, do they? I mean, come on.
Carlito, Primo, Hunico, Camacho, Epico. Yeah. Rosso.
Good grief. Some of them are named George or Jorge or
Jesus.
I'm sure there's others. I don't know many Mexican people, so I really don't know. So, and you know, the only ones I know are George and Jorge, and that's George Lopez and Jorge Posada. Miguel would be one. Duh. Victor seems to be a popular one. I'm just naming Detroit Tigers now. Moan. yeah. So if you play baseball, I guess I'd know who you are. But yeah, so Ted DiBiase's out. The status of the DiBiase posse parties, who knows, who cares?
I'm trying to think of what that 17-year-old is that the Pirates have. But it definitely doesn't end in an O, I know that much.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's not a culture I know much about, and I guess I should. I mean, considering that we're the second biggest minority group in the country now, isn't that right?
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, well. I don't see race. I don't see color. But anyways, yeah, Teddy DiBiase's out. I keep going back to this, trying to come up with anything, and it's really just even writing that small post was impossible. I mean,
yeah, I could tell you're struggling. I'm like, why did he go this long?
It shows only 5 minutes in, and I think the intro took longer than we took to talk about Teddy DiBiase. Yeah. All right. So yeah, he's out.
Yeah. No. I mean, whatever. Like they were trying to put him somewhere. Like they were trying to make you care about the undercard. Well, because I think that was one amusing thing that that Dusty had brought up to me when I was reviewing TNA or Impact Wrestling last week. Was it's like God forbid they try to make an undercard feud with Christopher Daniels and AJ and something else. I'm just like, I was like, I guess I should occasionally think about that instead of just completely bagging on people.
Yeah, but that's the beauty of stuff like this and what we do. We don't have to think. You just bag it. And then you get to come back the next week and act like you never said it, you know? And just go, I don't know what you're talking about. And someone points out what you said and go, that's just spur of the moment. So I didn't put any thought into it. I mean, please. I'm not going to start doing that now. I actually had something else, but I know you mentioned something about building like undercard feuds, but I mean, dude, they had a flag match already on SmackDown. And first flag match. I mean, isn't that really?
Yeah.
Isn't that like supposed to be the end of a feud? Like an actual heated feud between two countries and not just two guys?
Well, yeah. That was more the problem with that one is.
Exactly.
Yeah, even Cayenne disagrees.
Even Cayenne's going, that's her way of just howling at the moon saying, hey, dummies, you're trying to make something out of nothing.
Yeah, no, thanks.
Dog knows better. man.
It's just been kind of weird because, Jinder Mahal's still kind of been sticking around his territory along with still feuding with the, I have nothing going right now, so I'm just going to keep on beating people, Sheamus.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was going to say. Shit.
The feud. Exactly, Kyle. Kyle, say shut the fuck up about Ted DiBiase.
No, that was Kia. Mm. Enough!
It's a rare appearance by both dogs on the audio show.
what the shit? Oh, okay. This is what it was, is that I know, and I mentioned it, I might have mentioned it on Twitter. But, you know, it's always obvious that the matches are predetermined and the things are predetermined or the stipulations are predetermined.
Yeah, the spin the wheel thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was just so over the top obvious with this past SmackDown. It's just like, oh my God, like stop. Like you are being so patronizing right now. Cause it's just like, oh wow. Yeah. You guys happened to let the flag match was what really did me in. It's just like, oh my God, like the only feud that involves two people from different countries.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they could have gone with the aforementioned Sheamus and Jinder Mahal for a flag match.
But I mean, it's two flags none of us really should give a shit about though.
Hey, yeah.
You know? And I don't know, I guess the point of a flag match falls flat when it's just like, okay.
Ireland or India, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but even, I mean, honestly, even the, well, it was Mexico, right? I forgot already. Was,
yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure if they were putting the Puerto Rican flag up against the United States flag. Can't remember. Cause, you know, there's a big feud between the two of them. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not patriotic, but these flag matches are just stupid. You get your flag down of, or you win the match and your flag flies above the ring. I mean, it does. If you're in an arena in the United States, there's always going to be a U.S. flag flying. That, I mean, they don't take them down. They're always up there. So it doesn't make any fucking sense to me. It never has. But anyways, let's start talking about something we actually want to talk about.
No, I was just the one last thing that I was going to mention is that it does kind of keep with the theme of going old school that they seem to have established here recently. Like, I don't honestly know the last time that I saw a flag match. I there might have been some retarded something on a pole match in TNA, but I really don't remember.
TNA was the last place I remember one. I think it had something to do with Mexican America or something. Which, what a surprise that would be. yeah, because it was Inc., I believe. And they won it because remember whenever they conveniently needed something patriotic, they'd push Jesse Neal out there, even though he clearly doesn't look, you know, like he'd be, you know, pro-America, you know, with the look and all that.
Right.
But anyways, seriously, let's go on to something we actually want to talk about, we plan to talk about, and that was an aside. Kevin and I, we're the only two with access to Pro Wrestling Ohio television.
Well, we do have, J.J. Dillon of the group. mm-hmm. Dan Keister does also have access.
Yes, forgot about that.
Some form of satellite TV.
Well, he's too busy holding the title belt and nodding as we, do the audios. So, but no, so, and it's something, you know, it's one of those small leagues. For those who aren't familiar, they're based out of, are they based out of Streetsboro, or that's where just where the majority of the tapings are?
Yeah, they're based out of Cleveland, but they've really gotten away from taping in Cleveland. You know,
yeah.
That's, you know, they did more stuff like just in the suburbs there, and yeah, I'm not going to get too local. And worry about
nice.
You know, but, you know, it used to be in, like, just the suburbs there, you know, Parma and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they do hold their annual show, Resolution, at Nautica Jacobs Pavilion. Is that, did I get that right?
Yeah, it might be Jacobs Nautica Pavilion now because they realize that everyone keeps on referring to it by as Nautica.
Yeah. So then, so they got that. No, it's a nice, almost a nice league. How condescending. sorry, that's not what I meant. It's a cool product to watch. It's not polished at all. But you do see, that's where, Shima Zion, right?
Yeah, or Zima Ion, as he is now known.
Okay. And I also mispronounce names, so it's just, I'm not very smart about that, I guess. Johnny Gargano is there, Matt Cross, Kevin Nash did a spot over the summer. And so you get a lot of smaller indie names, and then they bring in the guest stars, essentially, since they call it seasons instead of, you know, not acknowledging that's a TV show.
And, you know, I think they did actually – I think this year is the first year they actually recognized it as a season. I think I just – called it that just to, you know, keep some basis on what the hell was going on or what year it was.
Okay.
At least initially.
Well, see, I don't mind that though, because it gives you a chance. Like we talked about this before. And this is just a recap of anybody, but we're gonna break this off into its own show sooner or later. We're working out details, but is somebody scratching a record in the background?
Oh my. That's where my volume is, huh?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was like, am I supposed to start rapping all of a sudden? No, that's going to be horrible.
There was like a puddle of drool there, and I needed to wipe it off.
Oh, okay. Because all I heard was, chwit, chwit, chwit. I'm like, well, here we go. But no, so we're actually going to break this off into its own show sooner or later. We just have to work out the details, and we're copying Dusty's idea of doing a strict TNA audio so we can keep the Stunt Granny audios to news and opinions. But until we get that worked out, we're going to talk about a show that aired 2 weeks ago. Kevin just put the review up for it. This was taped in Parma, Ohio. I can't remember where. I think it was a high school, though.
Yes.
Right? And this was, I don't know if this was the Brawl in the Hall or Hall Brawl, whatever it was.
No, they didn't have any name for this one, I don't think.
Well, no, they did have an internet pay-per-view in December. I hate saying it, did a very poor job of promoting it on TV.
I know what you're talking about. Okay. But I don't actually even remember them mentioning – usually they'll mention what the taping name is during the broadcast if they did it then. And I honestly don't remember them saying anything in this episode. And I could be wrong, but, I mean, I don't usually fast-forward through anything on these shows. So, mm-hmm. You know, because it was pressure rising last year. That they okay. recorded something on, and I honestly don't remember that.
Okay, well, this was it was done before Christmas, and you can tell in the background it had like some Christmas trees. And it really, I actually liked the setting. I liked it way better than the Streetsboro location. I don't remember what the name of it is. I don't have it pulled up in front of me.
Yeah, and I don't usually mention the exact location when.
Well, their website makes a point of saying where it is. I don't know. I guess it must be a sponsorship deal. I can only guess. I don't know. But it was large. It was much, much. It was lit much better than.
The look was a lot better than pretty much anything I've seen them. At aside from maybe. You know, when they're down at Nautica for wrestling.
Yeah, I was going to say, that place looks pretty good. I think they do a good job from the matches I've seen capturing, like, a bigger time atmosphere there. And I guess this episode, the way it started, just seeing, you know, the setting, it reminded me of the old ECW shows. You know, remember when you could get, like, the fan cam shows where it didn't have any, it was like their house shows they recorded?
Right.
And you could buy with no commentary. That's what this reminded me of.
And you know, that was the other thing that I really liked about this one. They had a lot better crowd, which I don't know if I ever ended up mentioning that. I think I meant to mention that in the, final analysis.
Yeah.
But, they did, you know, cause I think that last crowd was pretty quiet.
Yes.
The one from Streetsboro, too. Yes. Like, on top of the fact that it was pretty dark in there and they did what they could with their lighting.
Yeah.
This crowd was just really vocal in this episode, which, you know, mm-hmm. was really nice.
Yeah. That was the sad thing with the last set of tapings of Streetsboro was they saw some big-time stuff. I mean, they ran a bunch of angles. I mean, for a small promotion, like some big-time angles. I mean, you got your new commissioner, whatever. You had Fontaine fake winning the belt. You had Matt Cross actually winning the belt.
And I can't remember if that's the one that Dan and I kind of agreed with them. I think it was one of the better shows I had seen within the past calendar year.
Yeah.
You know, at those tapings. Like honestly, no matter what league you put it in, like, yes, you can go back through if you want to kill, you know, some of the, some of the production stuff that, you know, you could, or like, oh, the guys aren't that great at wrestling or something. It's just like, well, yeah, you could nitpick, but it's just like, these are like the guys that you see that are, you know, it's even before these guys would get to FCW or anything like that. So it's just like, to me, and I don't know if I've ever mentioned it on audio or even my write-ups, is that, you know, I guess I have a different, I have something of a different level of expectation, so I don't know if I'm always as harsh, but you know, just as the years have gone along here, I have been more critical of smaller things as they've moved along and had a better presentation as a whole.
Right. Now, I think I'm with you on that, because I think even for trust me, after seeing some of the smaller indie leagues that were on MAV TV, the quality production, the production quality of that, PWO was actually pretty good. I thought it was actually pretty good in comparison. I mean, it's, you're not going to get TNA and definitely not WWE out of a small time company like this.
Right.
But I keep saying this week's episode, but the episode that we're talking about, it started off.
It's episode 8, and I did just go back in the archives real quick. And it was just the previous episode. If you click on PWO on the left-hand side of our page, yeah. It was episode 7 that, honestly, like, it was one of the best hours of TV, if not the best hour of TV I watched in 2011.
That's fair.
You know, across any league, like, I thought all the storylines made sense. The wrestling was really good. And I mean, it does help when, it helped that it was Matt Cross and Jason Bayne as the main event. Cause I'll still stick to my, oh wow. Okay. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but I guess I'm just trying to lay some things out here that we have, that we haven't before, I suppose.
Yeah. But I think what I was getting at though was, going back to the audio and the presentation, the production values have always been okay. And with this episode 8, and you can follow along. We included a link on the post. You can click on that, follow along. But when the show started, the audio was terrible. I mean, I've tried to soften the stance up to give it a little bit of, you know, reasoning. It was awful, and it should have never made – that part should have never made the air. I don't know what happened, and I can't imagine that they don't have someone in post-production listening to it going, we can barely hear the announcers. There's clearly something going on.
Yeah, either that or they just need a little more time to set up or something before they start recording the shows. Like, I don't know if it's, you know, a timing issue, because it always, because it was the same way with this, that the set of recordings in Streetsboro, in that I remember there being problems the first episode, maybe the second, that they had recorded from there. But then, like, the other 4 or 5 episodes they recorded there, I didn't hear anything. So, like, I don't know if they, like, go through and end up fixing it as the show goes along.
I mean, there have always been varying degrees of quality on the audios for these, for the commentary. But this one was just one of those that really – it was an utter fail. I mean, and I understand, you know, you can check everything before broadcast. You can, I mean, check every mic, every connection, you know, the feed, everything. Things happen, and I understand that. But to not go back after the fact and change it is what I'm getting at. Is
yeah, it's somehow be able to clean it up.
Yeah, you're producing a television show, and it shouldn't be like. And this is on purpose, everyone. So it shouldn't be like, hey, everyone, welcome to Stone Granny Audio. And then you come in and you start going during the fucking broadcast. You know, we would immediately, I mean, most of the time, we would go, all right, hang on. And you would never know, because we would delete that and start all over again or edit it out, you know, something like that. But in this case, I mean, they're trying to cover angles. You can hear them talking about the wrestlers,
right?
And I don't know. It almost, I hate saying, like, I don't want to say disservice because it sounds so dramatic, but when you've got guys who are out there and they're trying to, you know, you've got your craft of your in-ring work, but there's also the craft of the announcers getting your storylines over or getting, you know, why the hell are two faces fighting each other? You know?
Right.
And I know Gory and Greg Iron started the show, but it carried on for a while. And it almost sounded like, you know, Aaron was talking to Joe, like, on the side, like, not even on the mic. It was very strange. Yeah. And it really, to me, it took away from the match.
Well, and it seemed like it was a very similar problem to me as the last time, I guess, which is why I brought that up. Because yeah. It almost sounded like occasionally it was coming through the PA system
yes.
over the entire facility.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Oh, that's right. I do remember that now.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes.
To me, I guess that was kind of the bigger problem. It seemed like the same error a second time.
Yeah. But in this time, it's in a gymnasium, which is even, you know, more expansive, and it just echoes through it. And it's like, you know, guys, you got to cover it up. And I'm not expecting you to put the fake noise in like TNA does in their 100-seat sound studio to make it sound like there's 10,000 people. But have it clear so that you can listen to what Joe Dombrowski, Aaron McGuire have to say. And, you know, I don't know.
Right.
I think there's got to be a way to do that even on a shoestring or just, you know, minimum budget. Not like I started off, not expecting big production value, but expecting a production value. Yeah. You know?
Right. Yeah, no, and I think that's one of those things too that, like I said, like because they have done a much better job. Recently. Sorry, I noticed a tweet here, and I was meaning to get back to our J.J. Dillon.
Oh, okay. I thought you were watching our Toddlers and Terrors in the background.
No.
This is literally one of my favorite episodes ever because Alana and her family, as I wrote to you, are trash supreme, and it's such a joy to watch these people. So, but I think let's move on to actually some of the action. The Gory Greg Irons match I thought was good. I liked your commentary. And just for the record, everyone, Kevin Rice is without any input from me. And then I have my own opinions. I'll read his stuff and, you know, we can argue or disagree or agree, whatever. So, I'm still not sold on Jason Gory as the like villainous guy. I mean, he can be a heel, but I don't know. Dude, Crimson, like I said, in a very complimentary way, looks like a bag of shit, and he looks like a scary, like homeless dude. And then you got Gory, who I still think just kind of pretends to be a scary guy.
Yeah,
you know, it nothing's really changed my mood at all. But Gory's not a bad wrestler, though. So it's like a conflict for me. I don't know. I almost think I'd rather him just drop. And the one thing that they really botched in.
Well, yeah. Because I guess he has had a little bit of mic time.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still definitely not the voice of his faction and doesn't really get a whole lot of time, which it doesn't help him out at all, I don't think.
No. Well, there was another production piece in this that I was not pleased with at all. The one visual I thought actually was kind of cool, and it kind of goes against what I just said about Gory, but he puts the blood capsule in his mouth and lets it drain while he's looking at the camera or whatever afterwards. He just lets it spill down the front of his mouth.
Oh, right.
They showed him clearly go over and put the capsule in his mouth. Now,
oh, I missed that.
The audience knows it's not some magic thing like the Great Kabuki or Great Muda or somebody like that. But you've got to be conscious of this. Edit it out, cut it to something else, or, you know, maybe I'm putting too much into this, and these aren't editing techniques that they have the technology to use. I don't pretend to know it. I pretend to know that, or I pretend, whatever. I do know what I do and don't like to watch on TV. And that was how I was taught when I was, like, learning how to use a camera, you know, movie camera, anything like that. You know what you want to see on TV.
Right.
Shoot that. So when you, like, if you're watching a car chase, you don't want to see the camera behind the car as you're watching a car chase, you know?
Right.
But, eh. So I just remember that one.
Yeah.
But I was pleased. So.
Nope. I, like I said, I missed that one. So.
Yeah.
What could I say?
I don't know. I've got that weird eye for this sort of stuff too. And then, yeah, the Aeroform promo after that, after Gory beats Greg Irons. I agree with you. It's not time for Gregory Irons to win yet. But is Hobo Joe coming back at all?
They have really sold it like he is not not going to come back.
Okay.
Although, you know, to me, that's always one of those, especially since they're a pretty basic Wrestling 101 kind of booking situation, that he is indeed going to come back at the, you know, worst time for the guys that beat him up in the Dead Wrestling Society, which, oh, yeah, which I get, I guess we could mention is Crimson, who had his name and likeness stolen by TNA two different times.
Yeah.
This Jason Gorey that's in the first match, and Cursed, who has kind of been on and off their TV show. Because I don't think he was that. I don't think he was at the tapings there for Streetsboro.
He was supposed to be on the internet taping, the internet show. It was supposed to be him and Crimson versus somebody. It escapes my mind right now who it was. I was wondering if Hobo Joe's going to be another one of the Dead Wrestling Society, kind of like they did with Curse.
Oh. That could be one way to go. I mean, he's one of the few characters that that hasn't flipped, hasn't done the heel face flip.
Yeah, you know, just,
in
you
the
know,
company.
Bring him up and have him look different. Isn't that what they did with Curse?
Yeah, they he went he got beat up at Resolution, actually, not last year, but Resolution 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then Crimson came out and took him to the back, and, you know, everyone was worried about what they were going to do to him or what he was going to do to him.
Which is always a weird thing to say when, like, that's the image you have. The guy tossing another guy over his shoulder and walking off with him. anyways. Yeah, the Aeroform and the Neon Ninjas promo. It's... And this is the good and the bad of indie wrestling.
Yeah, well, the Ninja Elite Squad is what the threesome is actually called.
Yeah, I fucked that up. I was just hoping I wasn't going to get called on it. So, it's the good and bad of indie wrestling. You got to learn your craft somewhere, you know. It wasn't technically bad. They were all on point. It was just kind of like, okay, these guys got some seasoning. They still need the seasoning. You know, put them back in the oven to bake for a while.
Yeah, and I mentioned it in the review. I think it really would have helped if they just would have let Aeroform, who had won the tag titles, and I got rid of it. It was either in episode 7 or episode 6.
Six.
Just let them celebrate their victory.
Mm-hmm.
It is a separate thing, and then just do another promo with Facade kind of moving him along.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting in their promo that they were calling out the Sons of Michigan, saying, and they even said something about, you know, they'll be back. And I'm like, no, Nate Matthews.
No. They said they won't be back.
Okay, then I misheard that then. All right. Never mind. My entire theory is dead then. Never mind.
Yeah.
If so, that would have been weird. So.
Yeah, no, because I think Nate had already said that he was retiring by the time they recorded this.
Yeah. There was a commercial break after that, I believe. And then it came back with Veda Scott doing a promo of her own. talking about her loss to, oh shit. Who was it? Portia Perez?
Yes.
Okay.
I was just going to see how long you'd hang on that one.
Well, I had Portia Perez in the first thought, and then I started going, no, wait a minute, that's not her. And I, you know, that first instinct you're supposed to go with. I hated this promo. Not because, you know, it's like going back to what I said, indie wrestling, you got to work on your promos, okay? The thing is, she stumbled over her words. You pointed out they cut her off, like it cut off as she was talking still. Someone has to have the wherewithal to go, nope, cut, stop. Start over again. Or figure it out to cut it to where she's not stumbling over her words. You know, she's on point. That's what I was getting at when we were talking about this before the show.
Oh, okay.
This promo should have never aired in this manner. You should never have people stumbling over their words unless it's live. And this is, to me, any league, especially like if it's TNA. If someone stumbles over their words, well, in a backstage segment, something like that, nope, cut, do it over.
Yep.
Cut, do it over. Continually do it until, you know, it's going to suck. That person, no one's going to be happy about it. But if you want it to look good, if you want it to look polished or, you know, semi-polished, you have to do that. And you were mentioning how, like, she was kind of off topic here and there.
Because there was that genuinely funny part at the very beginning where she said that she was only pinned by Portia Perez because of some fat slob in the audience, the light reflecting off of his hot dog wrapper.
And the thing is, I feel what that could happen. But yeah, I mean, obviously you use that line again.
No, that one does not leave at all.
Because to me, that's a great heel dick move. To where you're like, no, yeah. No matter what, you come up with the most ridiculous excuse. Right. To where it's like, ugh, look at this asshole just making excuses up. And the fact that it's a woman making it kind of makes it even funnier, you know, at least to me. But I mean, Veda Scott's fun. She's cute. She's not like your classic drop dead beauty, but she's adorable on TV. And the fact that she's a heel makes it even better. She's like, this cute girl's such a bitch, you know, just making excuses, calling out people. You know, it's everyone's fault but hers for losing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I think that was the other thing I said is that it had all the elements that you wanted to be a good promo. It was just, you know, there just needed to be a little more organization and a little more just let it ride, I guess. You know, it's just, I guess I was just a little surprised that maybe she didn't have a little more in that department, because when we met her up at the Kevin Nash pre-party last year.
Amazing. It's just amazing.
She was very articulate. I didn't have any problems understanding her. She was pretty sharp. And she had mentioned that she'd been doing interviews for Ring of Honor. And since I hadn't been watching that, you know, I had no clue. And then I ended up seeing her this past week on Ring of Honor's new show. Mm-hmm. Finally. And, you know, it was another one where it almost felt like she wasn't completely comfortable in front of the camera. You know, because, you know, you don't, it just seems like she was really fidgety and stuff like that. Like, for me, like, I know that I'm fidgety, and that would be a completely awful thing to have to deal with in front of a camera.
Yeah. Like, well, I was going to say, some people
would not come across well.
And some people just are fidgety and aren't comfortable in front of the camera. But, you know, unfortunately, in her profession, you damn well better get comfortable in front of the camera. That's where all your money's made. it's not something that, you know, it's going to come overnight because remember, well, that mysterious thing YouTube you never use. You can look at Shawn Michaels' old promos from the AWA, even before that, and they're atrocious. They're embarrassing. It's one of those like things you're so uncomfortable, you don't know how you can stand much longer. And most of the time, I just shut them off.
Right.
But then you fast forward and look at what he became. So that's what I was saying, man. It's everyone has to start somewhere.
Yeah. I guess that's the other thing that I should mention too is that she think she'd only been doing it for like 6 months or something like that. Like she hasn't.
Oh, wow.
Been in,
okay.
Yeah. No, she has not been in wrestling all that long. I forgot she was like an accountant or something like that. I forget. That was the other reason. I think I forget where she got her degree from. She is not a complete dope.
No, I wouldn't think so. I mean, I'm sure there are some really dumbass wrestlers, but I don't think, you know, that most of them qualify as dumb. I didn't realize how long we were going on the show. They had Corey Winters taking on Brian Castle in a face-versus-face match, which I thought was really weird. I'll tell you one thing, and this is, we don't have to dwell on it too long, but I really like that Corey Winters is like the kind of dopey fat dude, right, with the beard? They present himself.
No, he's the smaller guy with the long pants, short cropped hair. He's the one with Ben Fruth, that they're neighbors in Bucyrus.
How do you tell if Alzheimer's is setting in? This is awful. I can't remember anything.
Yeah, no.
All right, so Brian Castle's the bigger dude, right?
Yeah, he's the big guy with the beard and the faux hawk and the headband.
All right, no offense to Corey Winters then. I really like Brian Castle. I know it's kind of retarded, but he plays like that gentle like, you know, the whole thing with him hugging people and all that sort of stuff. It reminds me of Norman, the lunatic, from way back in WCW.
Right.
Before he became Mantar, I think it was.
But yeah, I don't remember what he moved on to, but I remember Norman quite well.
Yeah. I don't know. I get that, like, cuddly, dangerous kind of feel from him. Like, you're just waiting for him to go, like, Tard Rage, basically. I don't know. I just,
yeah, no, I think that's why I mentioned that in that analysis is it's just like, I guess almost for me, there needs to be some type of progression to his character. Like, I like it. I think he does it well.
Yeah.
And he just, I think giving him an edge of some sort would really help out a lot.
Okay. In the interest of time, we're going to have to figure – this is another thing why we haven't done a separate show of PWO. We're talking almost as long as the actual television broadcast.
Yeah, well, I mean, we are filling in things that we haven't, you know, just past stuff to kind of make sure that everything's in line here. And anybody listening who may not watch Pro Wrestling Ohio gets shit straight.
Yeah. We also had Marion Fontaine and Justin Labar continue their angle. I was actually kind of confused by this one. It's not all the time, you know, Labar is going to make himself at ringside. So it's like, all right, he's going to deliberately screw over Marion Fontaine. It's just, it's weird when the babyface is basically admitting he's going to do something without admitting it in this case.
Yeah, well, and that was the weird thing to me. If he really wanted to bury the hatchet, to me, it was like, why don't you just say, if anyone interferes in the match, they're suspended for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, or something like that. You know, just do a suspension and be done with it.
Yeah. I agree with your Jason Bain jamming a lot into one promo. So, congratulating Matt Cross, which I really actually didn't kind of like. I'd rather Jason Bain go, yeah, you pinned me. Now, but the next time we go again, it's going to be different. not congratulating him and all that sort of stuff. I mean, I know their faces and all, but
yeah,
Bane's a badass to me, and it just didn't kind of fit the character at all.
Yeah, I can see that angle, but I guess I lean more towards that he's a baby face, so he's got to congratulate another baby face for
winning.
Yeah,
yeah. Matt Cross had a promo. I could not figure out why I didn't like it, and then you hit something at the end in your review where you said, he has a funky cadence. That's what I didn't like. I think that cadence really threw me off. I don't know if he was trying something new or not, but I wasn't all that into it.
So. No. I think he's always had that.
Okay. Well, it maybe just seemed more pronounced then.
That I can never get over him saying Johnny Gargano instead of Gargano.
Mm. It makes him sound like a fuck. Never mind. I totally forgot the toy. Never mind. Gigantor. But it doesn't really work, so never mind. Which is, I'm glad you mentioned that, because the final match was Bobby Shields and Johnny Gargano.
Yep.
Bobby Shields got the victory in this, and I was pretty damn happy about that, because the right guy went over.
Yeah, no, and he, last year, I think I mentioned this, but he's one of those guys that has done a lot to improve himself. And the one thing that he, the major thing that he did to improve himself is he started, and I don't know if he's still going there on a regular basis or not, but he went to Taz's dojo to train last year. And I definitely thought that you could see a marked improvement at that point in his in-ring skills. And they've given him a little more mic time just because Bobby Beverly he's part of a group called Sex Appeal with Bobby Beverly and Nikki Valentino.
Mm-hmm.
And Beverly really got the most of the promo time up until, later last year. And they started kind of splitting it a little bit more. And, I think that helped him out a lot, too.
Yeah. I don't know. He's got that traditional heel, like long blonde hair, cocky thing going. And I think I like that too. And he's a younger guy, isn't he?
Yeah. But I don't think any of these guys are, except for Bane and Cross. I don't think any of them are even in our decade, as far as age goes.
All right. For those who don't,
I'm throwing us under the bus.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. Kevin and I were on Messenger at the same time we do this, so anything we not that we clear things to say, but it's stuff we know we shouldn't say on the air. So if we ever get quiet for a second and start laughing, that's what's going on. Yes, it's unprofessional, but at least it takes you inside the show a little bit. I like the fact that it went over because they've got their top-level guys, and it just seems like, and especially for an indie league where guys come and go, no one's under contract at PWO,
Right.
It helps to build up that mid-card, and you've got Gregory Irons and Gory. Jason Bane Crimson to me is a main event angle. Matt Cross is your main eventer. Fontaine is your main eventer. Then you got your lower guys, and I like the fact that they're building up some of the lower guys, like Bobby Shields winning.
Yeah, and that's why I definitely don't even say it in an insulting way, which I guess I don't know if I mentioned that earlier when I say they do the Wrestling 101. It's just like it's not bad.
No.
Like that's the other great thing about it. It's just like, oh, okay, this is logical and makes sense. Is it basic? Yes. But there's so many times where, WWE or TNA are just trying to do something that's different, and that's the only thing that they accomplish. It's just like, okay, it sucked, but it was different.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I guess I'd rather have it be, simple and thought out, I guess,
yeah,
and make sense rather than you know, trying to be out of the box. And I mean, I think that's, you know, one of the smarter things that, that they do just as an overall whole.
Yeah.
And yeah, building up, Shields, like to me, especially like at the end of last year with the extra Mike time and the better in-ring skills, to me, he was one of those guys that, there was no reason for them not to bump him up a little bit because he was more of a joke. Like him and Nikki Valentino were more of the tag team champs, and Bobby Beverly was the TV champion, or at least going for the TV title there last year. So I mean, anytime that you're in a, you know, you're part of a group and you're going for the tag team belts, you're definitely lower on the totem pole.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know. I'm also a big fan of younger talent just getting pushed. You know, not to say older talent's no good, but after a while you get burned out on them. You can only run so many Jason Bayne angles. You know, they're even trying to reconstitute one with him and Crimson again. And yeah. Another no holds barred thing.
Well, so, and it doesn't help them that they just Bayne is a big dude.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, yeah. There is no doubt about it. I've met him a handful of times. He is a big boy. And they just don't have that many guys. That's the other thing that just really does not help him that much, is that he just doesn't have anyone in his weight class, really.
Well, have they ever done anything with him and Brody Lee?
Brody Lee just came in last year.
Okay, that's what I kind of thought. I kind of got that feeling, I mean. So, all right. I mean, there's still that if Brody doesn't get sucked up sooner or later, which with his size, I can see that happening. I mean, I think we mentioned it before. If WWE were to grab him, they would clean his ass up in a second, though, and totally kill him. That's for another show. We'll get into that later.
Yeah.
I didn't realize the time was. So that's a very brief overview of PWO episode 8 from season 5. Check out Kevin's review, you know, fill in the parts that we didn't cover. If you watch, have opinions, let us know. Real quick at the end, what did you think of John Cena on Raw?
Oh, yeah, we...
Real quick, there's not a lot to go into this, but it's worth mentioning.
That, his mad face was just... And I have mentioned a number of times, I love cheesy shit. I just love it. And it's probably why I continue to watch more wrestling than I should. But, like, there's always something funny about it, the cheese, that you can laugh about. And there was nothing, like, it was almost so bad that it was funny, but not in a good way, really. Like, it, because I always compare those kind of situations to CSI Miami. Like, that is hysterical. That shit is hysterical half the time because it's so ludicrous. Well, yeah, it was just terrible. Like, it was just like, oh my gosh. Like, seriously, like, how many movies has he been in?
I'm trying to count.
I mean, hasn't a director said, you're terrible? Like, just make an angry face. Like, and that's, you know, and it's another one of those situations where from time to time, like, I saw, my sister-in-law in a movie that one of our friends here in Columbus did. And I'm like, oh, acting's not that hard. Like, I thought she did a pretty solid job. But then you see that kind of shit, and you're like, oh, my God, maybe it is harder than I think.
Hey, all right, first, let's back up. That acting thing, it should be pretty easy. You remember my acting experience, how awesome I was?
You were better than John Cena. I'm not saying you were good, but you were better than John Cena.
Yeah, for those who don't know, I was in a movie called Townies, and it's really despicably bad. Let's see, one. So, I'm reading two, three.
And it didn't help that just right after that, Eve Torres really did not do anything to make things any better. Either with her fake crying when Zack Ryder had gone through the shoddy construction of the WWE contractors. that was really about it. You know, she didn't help, but his mean afterwards face when they were in the backstage segment after he got put in the van was so terrible. It's like, oh, dude, and I think you were the one that said it, so I'll let you say it.
Yeah. Okay, it just got to, like, Hulk Hogan level. Like, remember when Hogan was, his face was really bloated? And, I mean, this is back, like, Andre Hogan days. Hogan, and, like, he'd shake and his cheeks would just go all over the place. And you're just like, oh, God. And that was more of a turnoff. But then you're like, all right. And then later on, like, when Hulk Hogan tore up, if Eric could help me out on this one, but when Ted DiBiase was trying to buy the title and Hogan was like, no, and just like turned to the crowd, still doing the no, shaking his head, that kind of like cheesy douche chill stuff that you look at now, that's the exact same thing I felt watching Cena do angry face. Like he has to be super mad about everything instead of just mad about it. I mean, just be upset. Or like, the John Cena heel that works is the little cocky, arrogant one. And he showed a little bit of that at the beginning of Raw with CM Punk. Because CM Punk smarted off to him. And Cena blew him off like he was nothing. And just kind of like was just real arrogant about it. Yeah. And that to me was more of a heel move and more of a, like, you know, kind of upset mode than this horse shit was staring at the screen going, if he would have just started shaking his head going, woo, 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 like you were just doing. Yeah. I mean, that would have been so awesome. It would have been fantastic. But no, it just, instead, it's just constipated face. What are you mad about? You can't hit the chick for saying that you were in the wrong? I mean, are you upset at Kane? I don't know. It didn't make...
Oh, yeah.
That was the other thing.
And that was the other... I thought this was the point that you were going to make. Like, doesn't that scare pretty much everyone if John Cena does turn heel?
No.
Well, no, that's what I mean. Like, how attractive...
Oh, shit, okay, yeah, sorry.
...heel John Cena be if that's the kind of emotion that's going to be coming out all the time. It's just like, oh, my God, no, please just leave him as a baby face. Like, if this is what we're going to get, it's going to be even worse. Please just pull out. Pull up.
Yeah. The plane's in a nosedive. That's a mountain in front of you. Turn the wheel and just do anything. Yeah. Can you just imagine how sadistic those promos would be with The Rock? If the Cena thing continues down the same path and he embraces the hate and he turns into some just stone face and trying to act all bad, those promos The Rock will cut will be just the most cruel things possible.
Yeah, like if everyone thought that he got neutered too much by The Rock the last time around, it's gonna be even worse. Like he's gonna snip it off like going through his ass or something. Like I don't know how you can make it worse. Like I mean, he's gonna be a eunuch by the time he's done with it. Like he's gonna be completely worthless.
It's just. I'm just trying to figure out what his promos will be about. I mean, I guess I'm not going to say that they're definitely turning him, but I would like to coin the John Cena heel hilarity, just how funny it will be. And it actually could be enough to drive people off. Not like the kids who are upset that he turned bad or whatever, but just the fact that Oh, shit. This guy again. Like, when a guy's turned bad, most of them don't turn into these, like, clotting monsters. Like, look at Batista came out, and he just shredded on the microphone. Chris Jericho totally changed character. You know, Big Show became arrogant. Not one of them became like Kamala all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's just not good. Like, no.
And if that's his like intimidating face, you gotta be joking. He's not gonna take you seriously. And this would be the time that I would almost want Kane not to have a mask on, because when he used to bust out those little goofy laughs of his, that was some funny shit. Because it was just like, oh my god, this, because Kane's kind of an ugly dude. I mean, no offense to Glenn Jacobs, but you're not good looking. So, that bald head and giant forehead you got going?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think he'd be able to pull off the character as well as he has over the years if he weren't that goddamn ugly.
Yeah, true, true.
But... so he can thank his terrible genes.
Yeah. But no, I would just like to see, like, Cena does that and Kane just start laughing at him. It'd be hilarious. Like, that's not how you do it. And it would fit the Kane image because, you know, no one intimidates Kane, essentially, except The Undertaker. So.
Right.
So, yeah. So there's that. But I'm trying to make sure we covered everything that I put in the write-up because I'm.
Oh, yeah. I did have a little editing for that, but that's for later.
Oh, are you going to put your phone number in it? But, nah, we'll figure it out. If I take something, I'll take it out. Don't really care right now. So I guess we should do the plug thing since this is, that picture is fucking fantastic too. Everyone will see the picture we're talking about. Don't worry about it. All right. We'll start with the plugs. We'll get all this out of the way. You can follow us at StuntGranny on Twitter. I am at Granny Maze. Kevin is at DeFrango11. Dusty is Dusty Gaming. Dan Keister. What is Dan's? I'm going to give his out. What the hell?
Keister.
Eh? Okay, yeah. At DDKUESTER. I don't know if Dan wanted his out there or not, but it's out there now, so too late.
Yeah, but he communicates with us on there far too much for him to be here. Yeah.
Yes, and he's not the rented mule. He is the J.J. Dillon. We call on him when needed. So when Erwin's about to beat us, we call for J.J., to come in there, distract us, and then we can throw Bear Windham over the top rope and retain the title after an hour's worth of action. The Eric Nelson is whatever, but we are running another Royal Rumble pick'em, or as Eric has coined it this year, 2012 Royal Rumble random draw kick-ass pick'em kind of game. Basically, go in the comments section, put down that you want to be a part of this, and put the number you're choosing. The Rumble has 30 men this year only?
Yeah.
It has 30 men only this year. You have to pick a number between 1 and 30. If your guy wins, you get a prize. Eric mentioned something about a $5 gift card to Jimmy John's. I don't know if he can afford $5, and I'm certainly not giving someone $5 of my money for picking a number on accident. So we'll let Eric come up with the prize.
Oh, they don't get to talk with us on an audio again?
That's what I thought would happen, but we got lucky it was Travis. It could have been some dunderhead who has nothing to say.
We have a train wreck potential in there.
All right. So that is Kevin volunteering himself for hosting that audio. Yeah, so the deadline is 2 p.m. Central on Sunday because that's when the Royal Rumble is. Make sure and get your pick in now. It looks like 21 numbers have been taken. No, I'm sorry. 17 numbers have been taken. And Aaron McGuire of PWO fashion is in there. Oh, look at him. So there's that.
That would not be a bad person to have host the show.
Well, it would be hilarious if he won, too. It's like, come on, man. you can follow, email us at stunkgranny@gmail.com. You can also post on the comment section, which is what I just told you to do with the 2012 Royal Rumble random draw kick-ass pick'em kind of game. Kevin is back every week with his PWO wrestling reviews, and your TNA reviews, and your Almost Live, Definitely Half-Assed Raw reviews. Every Sunday, pretty much, is going to be the TNA audio show with Dusty Giebink and a person of his selection.
Yeah, and you and awesome. I will you will be purchasing the Royal Rumble. I will more than likely be purchasing the Royal Rumble. So look for a show or look for a post on Friday and look out on Twitter also.
Yep. So yeah, guys, so there's all that stuff. You got plenty of stuff to listen to because this went way longer than we expected. Much like I said it was going to. So I'm going to get out of here. Everyone, have a good night. Thanks for listening. Thanks for following the site. Enjoy the Royal Rumble, and we'll talk at you next week.
Okie doke. Time to get a sippy time beer, grandkids. Night.
How's that for pile driving, Miss Daisy?